Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Sunday morning adult discussion group here at Wings Christian Fellowship. Today we're going to be in chapter 16 of Matthew again. And let's have somebody start us with a word of prayer. And it looks like it's going to be Brenda.
What time is it now?
10:06.
Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness unto us, and we look forward to gathering together to glorify you, Lord. We're asking, O Lord, that you continue to bless each and every one of us, Lord, and those that are even not here, that we, Lord, look to you, thank you, and praise you for all that you've done and all that you're doing and all that you will do. Glory, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And Father, please make known to us what our next move is as we move on as a group of your beloved followers, Father. Tell us, let us know what it is that you want us to do.
Yes, Lord.
Even if it's just go sit on a park bench, we'll do it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, we got, I think we got about to verse 12. Am I right?
I think. I've got 16, 1.
You have 16?
Wait a minute, 1 to 20. Wait a minute.
Chapter 16, verse 12. I couldn't check it because the...
He's talking about the 11.
I thought I got on 23.
You got down to 23? Mm-hmm. Okay, well then let's just start reading at 13 and go on down to 23. How about let's stopping at 20? Because that's kind of one story. Let's go 13 to 20.
We're in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13
down to 20.
And we're going to verse 20. Mm-hmm. Now, when Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they answered, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you yourselves say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then Jesus answered him, "Blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood men have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, Greek Petros, a large piece of rock, and on this rock, Greek Petra, a huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church." Mm-hmm. "And the gates of Hades, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower it or be strong to it detriment or hold out against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth, must be what is already loosed in heaven." Then he sternly and strictly charged and warned disciples to tell no one he was Jesus, the Christ.
Very interesting. There's really a lot in there. Does anybody have anything that's really jumped out at them and that they want to share? I found it very interesting that when he says, who do men say that I am? And they said, Notice all these people that they think he is are dead people.
Mm-hmm.
Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elias. And others, Jeremiah. Jeremias is what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Or one of the prophets. Sorry, guys. Get that down. And he says, so those are all dead people. Why? I don't understand. I don't know. Maybe it was a different time and a different place, but do they really think, did they really believe in those days more than we do, that dead people come back? And or did they think it was, he said even the prophets come back, you know? Did they actually believe that dead people came back and walked among them? I mean, because even if they believed that, that was probably even, that was a bigger leap of faith than believing that he was Christ, the Son of the Living God, because Christ, the Son of the Living God, had been prophesied for years and years and years that, you know, the Anointed One was going to come. I think it would take less for me to believe that he was the Christ than to believe that he was John the Baptist after they had just seen John the Baptist's head on a platter.
So,
I don't know. That's just me, though. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I was why they thought he was anyone but Christ. But they read the scriptures. You know, they got the scriptures,
mm-hmm.
and it tells all through there, mm-hmm. in their beliefs and everything about him coming. But when he came, and look at all the miracles he was performing.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't still see him as
and
Christ.
Still, John the Baptist, not that I remember or recall, he didn't do miracles.
Mm-mm.
He baptized people unto repentance. And the prophets didn't so much do miracles as they did prophesy.
I'm not sure that some of them didn't know who he was.
Some of the disciples. Yeah, because he said.
It says some say he's John the Baptist, some say he's Elijah, some say he's Jeremiah. But none of them said, you are the Christ.
Except
only
Peter
who
only
God
Peter.
Revealed to him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They were still trying to figure it out.
Yeah. And Simon, and they called him Simon Peter even before Jesus said to him, you're going to be Peter. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus answered, and he said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Does that mean the son of Jonah? I think it does mean, mm-hmm. something like that. Simon, the son of Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And then, where was this that he said?
And he calls him Rock, Gibraltar, but he's not speaking of Peter as such, but the truth that Peter
spoke. The acknowledgement, yes. Where he said,
yes.
He says, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, here's what it is. Blessed art thou, for flesh and blood, mm-hmm. hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And then he said to him, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, I thought it was, there's, you know, the word Peter and the word rock, they are only one number apart in the Hebrew, you know, in the numbers, in the
definition.
Yeah, in the Strong's. One is one is Blessed are thou, son of Arjuna, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee. And I say thou art Peter. That is the Greek number 4074. And upon this rock, which is number, the Greek number 4073. Mm-hmm. Now you are Peter. 4074. A rock or a stone.
Now down here in the footnotes and in the Amplified, it says the rock on which the church is built is traditionally interpreted as either Peter's inspired confession of faith in Jesus as the Messiah, or it may be Peter himself.
Okay.
It's got another footnote.
Now, that thing, it says, the Strong says, apparently a primary word, a piece of rock. He has a name, Petrus, an apostle. Peter, rock. Okay, now on 4073, get back to that, it says, and upon this rock, and I think it was, Peter, you're the pebble, you said it. You're the first one that has acknowledged it. Mm-hmm. And you're the first one that my Father has given this revelation to.
Yes, that's true.
It wasn't even anything that Peter did, but he's the pebble. God gave him that revelation that he is the Christ. And it's on the rock of the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's, and then if you go down to the rock, 4073, that rock on which he built the church, it says, remember the other one said a piece of rock? This one says a mass of rock. And then it says in a rock, a cliff or a ledge. I like that because that's where you got to jump off. You got to just say it for whatever it's worth. Say it and believe it and jump off the rock and you're never coming back and you're going to live in that knowledge. A projecting rock, a crag, a rock and rocky ground, a large stone. And then metaphorically it means a man like a rock, by reason of his firmness and strength of soul.
Believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. And I read in one other translation where it was like the Rock of Gibraltar.
Mm.
You know, that symbol of strength and never-ending firmness.
Mm.
What was that insurance company that had the picture of the Rock of Gibraltar as their trademark name or something?
Oh, yeah.
I forget.
So this is...
Also, I think that it could mean, you know, that a lot of it comes from the fact that you are Peter. You're a pebble, and the revelation, it is the revelation of God that makes the Rock of Gibraltar upon which I'm going to build my church. That God is getting ready to reveal to all men that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's that revelation, and only that revelation, that's going to save every man every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
So that shows the great responsibility that we have, because
he's going to do this through his body.
My.
He's going to die. He's going to do this through his body, which we are presenting the Christ.
We're in Matthew chapter 16, and we're right around verses 18 through 20, where Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Okay.
And he says, Peter, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father has.
Yes.
Say, chapter 16, you said?
Chapter 16, Matthew. Yes.
Okay, got it.
Come and join us. Mm-hmm. You may now expound on it, now that you've been here 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Go ahead, tell
you
us.
You said verse, where are we at?
We read from 13, I believe.
17, 13 to 20.
Okay.
Yeah, 13.
Jesus replied, you were blessed.
And so now we were in there where he asked, or Christ was asked,
Who do men say I am?
A lot of them had no idea, even though they've seen all the miracles. And even, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting how people like to use the name of God and his name for their own benefit, right?
Yeah. And isn't it also interesting, we were saying, that they picked out Jeremiah, John the Baptist, Elijah, although they would rather believe that he's some dead guy brought back to life.
Yeah, when he's right there in front of them.
Right. And I mean, right after, I mean, they just saw John the Baptist's head on a platter. You know, and they think he came back to do something special.
Does he even look like John the Baptist? I doubt it.
And, well, they were cousins.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Cousins.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it got interpreted into English. But.
Yeah. But, but when he said, who do you say that I am?
Yeah.
And it's upon that rock. Well, that's what we were trying to figure out. What was the rock on which Christ was going to build his church? The revelation of God showing Peter, thou art the Son, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
That truth is really
yes.
The rock on which he's going to build
his church.
The church.
And I think that truth element, the truth of him being, you know, God Almighty and the Son, and Jesus being the Son of God and a true reflection and continuation of God.
Yeah. And you know, another interesting thing is, I mean, he was really lifting Peter up. Peter had a very key role. And yet, Peter's life went on, and Peter did not overnight become perfect.
Yeah.
It was not more than probably a week before Peter denied ever even knowing this man.
It's funny how weak our flesh is.
Yes.
And how it takes a lifetime of revelation.
Exactly.
And our stubborn willfulness and lack of submission to his will that it seems to be that it's only until we're willing to be broken all the way for his sake that we begin to feel the true blessings and see the true blessings as they are, as he is.
Just as Jesus did. Nevertheless, Father, your will, not mine, be done. And if we could learn to say that in all things.
It's such a process. Each day we have choices.
You know, what you were saying was so interesting, because I see the soulish part of us, our mind, our will, and our emotions as being there's the flesh, there's the spirit. They who are joined in the spirit, there are one. There's one spirit, and we each have our own flesh. And I believe the flesh itself is enmity toward God. In the middle is the soul. And the soul is where, to me, in my opinion, where the processing of the Lord takes place. That's where we learn.
I like to, in verse 15, he says, then he asked him, but who do you say I am? So it wasn't, he's saying, okay, that's fine that they say that. Not really, but they say that, true. He said, but who do you say I am? you've been here with me. You've been a witness of my testimony and my presence here in the flesh. So who do you say I am? And then his affirmation thereafter tells me that when Peter said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God, of the living God," like, that's, he got it right.
Yes.
and it's very rare. It's very rare as we as people get it right.
And he said, "Flesh and blood hasn't revealed that to me."
Right. Exactly. It's the spirit.
It's the spirit.
Yes. Yes. Agreed.
And yet he Amen. Still needed processing of his soul and his emotions and his intellect and his will.
Absolutely.
And his fear. Things like that. That's what's getting processed. Mm-hmm. To become the sons of God.
Yes.
Anybody else?
No, should we keep reading down the line? I don't know. What's next? What's this next, teacher?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I facilitate.
You look very,
no,
very...
No. We are together. The Son of God is the preacher.
I gotcha. I love it.
And flesh and blood doesn't reveal it to us.
I'm eager for more. That's the only reason I ask. Not.
Okay. Let's see. So, I love this. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Okay. Let's just read over again from 18 to 20 so that we can kind of get that into our head to talk about for a minute.
Okay, we're reading from 18 to
20. 18 to 20.
And I tell you, you are Peter. Mm-hmm. And they goes into saying that the Greek is Petros, mm-hmm. a large piece of rock. Mm-hmm. And on this rock, mm-hmm. and then it says Greek Petra, a huge rock like Gibraltar, mm-hmm. I will build my church in the gates of Hades, the power of the infernal region shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven. Mm-hmm. And whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth, must be what is already loosed in heaven. Then he sternly and strictly charged and warned the disciples to tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ.
Interesting.
I see something in that. Do you?
I do.
Go ahead.
It's almost as if Jesus is handing the baton over to the church. That very last part is what resonated mm-hmm. with me, that Jesus is saying, "You're my disciples. I'm here with you in spirit and in flesh." Mm-hmm. But in the flesh, Peter, the church must be carried through you. And I never been revealed to me prior mm-hmm. to just now.
This is really interesting because in verse 21 it says, "From that time forth." It's almost like it's what you said, that it was birthed when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Yeah.
And it says, from that time forth, Jesus began to show his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things, be killed, and be raised on the third day. It's almost like they opened a door. You know, they were babes. Oh,
Now it's time to pick up.
I'm leaving.
Yeah, yes. Now it's time for you to pick up your cross.
Wow, mm-hmm. That's interesting.
That is interesting. I never caught that in yeah. prior readings. Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things that came to me from it was from the way that the Amplified Bible spoke out, "Whatever you shall bind on earth." I'm going to read it in the what the King James says. Not that I put too much on King James.
Oh, no. I grew up on the King James, so yeah. it's like...
But lately, I've not...
It helps to get understanding in plain language.
Lately, I've been thinking, they don't get it all right.
Yeah.
It says, And so, and that's exactly what he says. I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That's it. Here it is. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Now, buddy, what did the Amplified say? Just the part about being bound.
Being bound part, the loosened and bound.
Oh, okay.
I give you the keys.
That's verse 19, right?
Yes.
I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven.
Must be what is already bound in heaven.
That kingdom come.
And King James says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to make sense of that, like, because it was a lot of...
One says, I give you a lot of power. If you bind it on earth, it's going to be bound in heaven. That one says...
It's already bound, so we have to be in agreement.
You should bind what is all... They're saying,
so it's, yeah, it's multifaceted and from multiple lens views there, because it's like he's... In one hand, it sounds like he's giving the disciples the authority, and the other hand, he's saying, but wait, it has to be bound in heaven as well.
We have to do it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It says it's already bound in heaven. Now you've got to do it on earth.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So it's yeah. No, that's true. Now it's your turn.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a Toby Mac verse that, like, yeah. it says it starts with
whatsoever
me.
Whatsoever you know, you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And what does that one say, buddy? The very end of chapter 9, of verse 19. And whatsoever you shall loose.
Whatsoever you loose, declare lawful on earth, must be what is already loosed in heaven.
There it is.
Uh-huh.
Full circle.
Yes.
Yeah.
That puts a whole different spin on it than what this is. This, we've always been taught, I'm giving you the power. If you loose it on earth, I'm going to loose it in heaven. In other words, if you cast a demon out of a person on earth, so it shall be in the upper, authority.
If I forgive your sins on earth, through the church, through whatever means, or then I also loose, you don't take that along with you.
Exactly.
You're forgiven.
Oh, yeah,
the mercy,
that is great.
The mercy of my blood, of the blood of Jesus, yeah, is cleansing that. And
they
and,
are no more, and
they
he
are
doesn't
no more.
Remember them.
Yep.
They go into the sea of forgetfulness.
Yep.
And then another verse in Isaiah 22, it refers to verse 19, where it says, you know, like, I will give you the kings of the kingdom. It says here, and this is in Isaiah verse 22, and the key of the house of David I will lay upon his shoulder. He shall open, and no one shall shut. Mm. He shall shut, and no one shall open. Mm-hmm. And I will fasten him like a peg or nail in a firm place, and he will become a throne of honor and glory to his father's house.
And what verse was that?
That was verse 23.
Of Isaiah?
Yeah, verse 22 to verse 23.
Of what chapter?
Chapter 20.
Chapter 22.
22.
Wow.
Verse 23.
Yeah, 22 and 22.
It's amazing how the scripture threads through the Old Testament and fulfills itself through Jesus Christ.
And I don't think that he is talking to, I don't think he's prophesying about Jesus when he says that.
No.
And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and shut. So he shall open and none shall shut. He shall shut and none shall open.
I guess the visionary thing that was making me think of Jesus is actually the vision of the nail and maybe that was where I was going with that.
No, I'm sure it is Jesus. And the key of the house of David.
Which Jesus was of the line of David, right?
Yeah.
So.
Mm. and I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place.
I could read some.
And he shall be for a glorious throne to his
And I think
father.
I think of the wilderness wanderings as they that was probably a common analogy for them to have to nail down their tents and to make sure they were well grounded as they ventured through the wilderness.
Yeah.
Or else they'd get
the
blown
storms
away.
Storms in that.
Yeah.
Okay. And then do you see anything in 20? Then charged he his disciples that they, if he gives them this, and it's got to be stunning.
Yeah, it's like, wait, what?
What?
You just gave us the greatest gift of all and we can't tell anybody about it?
Yeah, that they should tell no man that he was Jesus.
Yeah, why do you think that was? Obviously we can't.
Well, I do remember when he met, right before he went into Jerusalem, he stopped and he met the woman at the well of Samaria.
Okay.
And she said, and he told her all that he had done. If I give you water, you'll never thirst again and all mm-hmm. that. She says, oh, I got to go and tell everybody. And he let her go. It was time. She went before.
Yeah, and I think it's funny too.
Jerusalem.
That reminds me too is yeah the timing thing. I don't think we'll ever fully comprehend because we are not omniscient like God. But I think to that what you just said reminded me of what Jesus said to his mother when she told him to change water into wine. Right, like so mm-hmm. He felt bothered by the situation. It's like it's not my time.
Yeah.
But Mother Mary said, oh yeah, it's your time. Listen to Mama. But yeah, it's like the timing thing. It's like, it's gotta be, I would say it's gotta be a timing thing for some reason. I think probably due to the limitations of the flesh, the disciples needed for it to be real and tangible before they were prepared to speak with power and authority that they needed to for the continuation of the church, and I feel like he was preparing them, but he was still there with him. He still had a thing to show him. The crucifixion has not happened yet.
Yeah.
It's still to come, and because of the weakness of our flesh and our inability, we always have to have, you know. I think Jesus said many times in frustration, how many signs and wonders am I gonna have to show you guys like before you're gonna believe?
Have you been with me so long?
Yeah,
and you still don't.
Yeah,
and it's like, you know, and I recall back, I recall back personally, like when what's the Bullock girl that had the
Teresa?
No.
Pat Bullock?
No, the girl that had the heart cardiac event. We were all praying for her, and she lived. We thought she was going to die. It's the younger one, the one that's like younger than me. She had like a major like cardiac event. She was almost pronounced brain dead, but then.
I remember, but I don't.
What's Courtney and Morgan? Which one was it?
I don't know.
Yeah, either Courtney or Morgan. I just remember feeling that night. When, I forget who told me about it, my mom, I think, and I said, and I haven't had this happen for very many situations, but I said, oh no, she's gonna live, mm-hmm. And I'm gonna pray in accordance to God's will, mm-hmm. And I said, if it be thy will, Lord, move your spirit, heal her, mm-hmm. Have her wake,
mm-hmm.
And it wasn't very much longer, I got the news that she had woken up,
yes.
And I, you know, that was just another wake-up call. But it's like, why is my flesh so stubborn to the point to where I have to have those tangible things? And I'm wondering if Jesus knew that about his disciples. We are, you know, carnal in nature. We carry the burden of the fall. But yet, there's a pathway to righteousness and mercy through his mercy and blood. And I. You know, it's like how many times do I have to see it? Just like it's like I can't just tell them like and I can't have them take Peter's word for it because it has to be fulfilled. This is the will of my Father who sent me, and maybe
it has to be shown to them.
Yeah, it has
and
to be shown to me because that's how we are. So we have to see it to believe it. But he's saying no, you don't have to see it. All you have to do is trust me.
Yeah. That no matter how it turns out, it's my will.
is to, and despite we don't have the ability to pan out and see the bigger plan.
We don't.
And in the moment that can be hard and challenging, it can really challenge our faith in a way.
Anytime there is a verse in the Bible that has something to do with time, I have to kind of take out that time issue to understand God's perspective.
Yeah, because time is not a limitation
not,
for
that's
for
right. He's a he
There's
is
no time. Yeah.
Yeah, because Cronus time is not
made subject
yeah.
to it.
Yeah, and Cronus time is not a limitation, and we are just vapors. We are just vapors in this, and it's hard to accept that with I think Brother Oscar called it our ego. You know, it's hard to accept that as our ego. Our will says no. I have to fight for my survival and my right to survive. No, you don't. You're here because God created you and had a plan that you be here. And he sent his son to offer a pathway to him, and even though we did not deny him through Adam at the fall, and so I think you know just for me it's like you said, and you do have to take a step back when you start questioning, well, why did at that time why did he give him that instruction? That doesn't seem right. Shouldn't they be out evangelizing? No, it's not done yet.
Hold on,
I got a plan. And it's way better than what you guys do.
Yeah. It's a great way to put it.
Yes, very good.
Want to read a little bit further?
Yeah. What's the
21?
Oh, your time, yeah.
Go ahead and read down. All the way to 28. Unless somebody grabs something in the middle of it, say, hey, wait, I got something there.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Okay, we're still in Matthew chapter 16. And
yes.
We're, right with
we're going
to
start
verse
21.
And going all the way to the end of the
all the way to
chapter
28.
28, yeah. From that time forth, Jesus began clearly to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the high priests and the scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised from death. Then Peter took him aside to speak to him privately and began to reprove and charge him sharply, saying, God forbid, Lord, this must never happen to you. But Jesus turned away from Peter and said to him, get behind me, Satan. You're in my way, an offense and a hindrance and a snare to me. For you are minding what partakes not of the nature and quality of God, but of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to be my disciple, let him deny himself. Disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself and his own interests, and take up his cross and follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me, confirm hold to my example in living and, if need be, in dying also. For whoever is bent on saving his temporal life, his comfort and security here shall lose it, internal life. And whoever loses his life, his comfort and security here for my sake shall find it life everlasting. For what would profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life, his blessed life in the kingdom of God? Or what would a man give as an exchange for his blessed life in the kingdom of God? For the Son of Man is going to come into the glory, majesties, majestic splendor of his Father with his angels, and then he will render account and reward every man in accordance with what he has done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his into his glory.
Sounds like he's moving into the literal what's about to happen almost now.
Mm-hmm.
Phase of Chronos time.
Exactly.
Yes.
This is the third day. And he said on the third day, I'm going to wake them up. Mm-hmm. And we become aware of things that we weren't even able to comprehend before. I thought it was interesting here where he said, well, I'll just start with what really grabbed me. There's a lot in there. For the Son of Man shall come, this is 27, in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall reward every man according to his works. Let's see, where is that? The one before that, 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And something about that, where it says something about that, and this is just my opinion, like I was saying before, the flesh, the soul, the spirit. There is, when everybody puts so much in can I lose my soul? I got to tell you that there are parts of things in my soul that are never going to see eternal life. And I don't want them to. They either have to come under the lordship of Jesus or they got to go. They got to go and they got to get burned. Now, if I've got hate in my heart, if my emotions are of resentment and hate, if my the things that pertain to my soul are still imperfect and they're part of the process being made complete.
Yeah.
And I believe that it is possible and it is my intention to lose some of my soul because I hate some of what I see in my soul.
It binds you.
Yes.
It binds you to the
things. And so it either has to come into perfection, which God, you know, whatever part comes into perfection, it's like the wheat and the tare.
Yeah.
That all exists in the soulish realm. You know, the good and evil, and all of that stuff, that's where all of that dwells. And we have, when he goes to process the wheat, he throws it up and the tares blow away and the wheat comes down.
And that goes back to that image that Buddy had referenced back in it was Isaiah?
Yeah.
Like of the nail holding
yes.
down, not letting it blow away, right? Mm-hmm. And he was talking about like I want to nail your soul, your spiritual dimension. I want to nail it down so that it's life everlasting. You want to chase after riches that are going to fade as soon as you die?
Boy, you learn
no.
That lesson.
No, you want to hold on to those things that are everlasting. That are eternal in nature. And he gave us that gift with his son. God gave us that gift as his son. So why is it so hard for us to embrace it? Why do we continue to hold on to those things that we think are going to bring us security? Like and going to make us happy? They won't.
They don't.
The more we fixate our eyes on what is the truth and the light and what's eternal, the happier we're gonna become.
Yeah.
And we don't do it for happiness. We do it to be aligned back to our Maker,
mm-hmm.
and to come full circle with our Creator, our creating and loving and merciful God.
Yeah. I love that song that says, "Bless the Lord,
O my soul."
It's like your spirit, the spirit, mm-hmm. is telling the soul. Come on, buddy, get in the line.
I sometimes find myself singing some of those old hymns. The Lord just puts them on my heart.
Yes.
And I start singing them aloud. My family probably like, Oh boy, Dad lost it.
Yeah.
Nope, I'm not drunken. I'm just the Spirit's just filling.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Drunk on the Lord.
That's right. The Holy Spirit's just.
Yes.
Bless
the Lord, oh my soul. And all that's within.
Within.
Yes. Bless his holy name.
And I think the, you know, but the only limitation of allowing that to dictate our lives, one of the biggest hindrances, I should say, is holding on to the things that are temporal, as he speaks of. Those things that are right now, that because I feel uneasy about it. I feel uneasy about I gotta hold on to it. I gotta hold on to it. I gotta hold on to the things of this world. No, let them go. Loosen them. Let God's will dictate where we go.
Well, you know, there's almost no getting out of it, because God, what does it say, that God does everything according to the counsel of his own will?
Yes.
He only does what he wants. He can do anything he wants to do, and that's exactly what he does.
He does
what is in his plan.
There's this song by a couple artists, Christian artists that I like, and Tori Kelly's one of them, and she's got a beautiful voice. And she says, she says a verse in the song, she says, "There's no secret to the sadness, you just have to let it break you." And I think there's such wisdom in that, and I'm sure that the Lord had revealed that to whoever the writer was.
Yes.
That there's going to be sadness, and there's no secret to it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to let it go and loosen it. Let the Spirit and the love everlasting take control.
I love what you said. It's there to break you. You have to be broken.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to sit on your hands, stay still. Hurt.
And my Aunt Jewel constantly reminds me. I mean, through my times of turmoil, personal, just when I get really wrapped up in what's going on, in the now, she just reminds me. All she has to say is, "We trust God. We trust God, Brian."
Who says that?
Aunt Jewel. Mm-hmm. She reminds me when my emotions are trying to take the wheel, and what my fixation on the here and now is distracting me away from the promise that I have in him.
These things are all for learning. Mm-hmm. All for learning that, you know, the one thing we have to learn. God is in control. He's got a plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The kids used to sing a song with Dell. God is in control. Mm-hmm. And we got to let him. And the more we try to hold on to the things that we think we control, mm-hmm. and we think that control the circumstance, The more we're going to have to feel that break.
Mm-hmm. That's, exactly.
We're clinging to it. Yeah. We need to cling through the promise that was revealed through us, through Christ our Lord.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, it's getting there. I think we better get ready to close here.
Yeah.
Who will close us in a word of prayer?
You want me to?
Yes.
Lord, I thank you for this day.
Yes,
I thank you for this faithful group of followers that I was so blessed to be able to have this wonderful reflection time about you, Father, and your will done through Christ our Lord.
Yes.
I just ask, as we navigate these challenges, these temporary challenges that are inevitable in front of us,
yes.
in the upcoming weeks, mm-hmm. that we cling to the promise that is fulfilled through your word and scripture,
yes.
Lord. We just ask that you bless everyone in this room, and that
you
help us fulfill your will. And we don't pray for our will, Father. We pray for thy will.
Yes, Jesus.
And we ask that as we go from here, that be reflected through our acts and through our belief and through our faith.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.